This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
We came up after a year with a prototype showing our vision of what could be a new reinvented toilet.
Aside from some aesthetic advances and rudimentary low-flow innovations, the modern flush toilet basically has not evolved since its prototype first appeared at the end of the 16th century. This year, Bill and Melinda Gates thought they'd accelerate the flow of progress by holding a contest to invent a better toilet. Across the globe, over 2.5 billion people don't have access to adequate sanitation. The result? Disease and death in the developing world that could be avoided entirely if only someone could come up with a toilet that didn't require running water, electricity, or septic systems, wasn't expensive, and didn't create pollutants. My guest today on Sea Change Radio is part of a team that invented precisely such a toilet. Clément Seed and a group of other Caltech graduate students, under the leadership of Caltech engineer Michael Hoffman, built a toilet that not only runs off of solar power, it actually creates hydrogen fuel and usable water. Hear how this team came up with a design that won the Gates Foundation contest and could potentially augur a cleaner, safer life for billions of people all around the world. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Clément Seed. He is a graduate student at the California Institute of Technology. Clément, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So you recently won a prize for the Reinvent the Toilet Fair that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had set up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about why there was a fair to reinvent the toilet first?
Well, it started about one year and a half ago when the Gates Foundation started to tackle the problem of hygiene. And even if it's not a sexy subject, open defecation is the main issue in hygiene in the world. People that don't have access to safe toilets have much more chance to get diseases. The World Health Organization predicts that 2.7 billion people, so it's about 40% of the world's population, will be without access to basic sanitation by 2015. So there is something we might be able to do, and that's what the Gates Foundation wanted to work on, trying to work on resolving that basic hygiene issue will lead to having a better global health and avoiding, for example, cholera or different diseases due to a lack of hygiene. For example, the main cause of death in the world is due to that lack of hygiene. And it fills up half of the African beds. So in hospitals. So this is a main issue that was not really taught in the media before the Gates Foundation started working on it. And they asked eight teams all around the world, eight university teams, to come up with an idea of reinventing the toilet, reinventing the system, reinventing where the people go. And the California Institute of Technology was one of these teams led by Professor Michael Hoffman. So we came up after a year with a prototype showing our vision of what could be a new reinvented toilet.
And there were several very interesting innovations that came out of this beyond the winning commode that you and your colleagues created. There was a group from the Netherlands that converted waste into electricity using microwave technology. And then there was a Stanford project that tried to make charcoal that captured carbon from human waste. Why don't you talk about your solar-powered commode and how this works? And it charges hydrogen fuel cells, is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So our system is basically, we worked on the treatment part. We can use whatever type of toilet that already exists. I'm speaking about toilet seats or squat toilets or, for example, water-free urinals. So then when a person uses one of the toilets, the person flushes, except for the water-free urinal, of course. So then it goes to what we call something that is like a septic tank, but in a smaller scale than what people have in remote areas. So in this septic tank, we have separation between the heavier products and what is lighter. So same when you, for example, mix a salad sauce, you will have the oil going up and the vinegar going down. So same principle. And the top part will go into our reactor. And in this reactor, we have what we call electrodes. These are basically metal plates, two different categories of metal plates. These electrodes are using electricity to chew up the human waste. And the electricity that the electrodes need comes from the solar panels. So these solar panels are simply converting the sunlight into electricity. And we also added what we call a charge controller and batteries in order to have the possibility to run the system night and day. So once the top part of the septic tank is treated in the reactor, after a few hours, this is completely disinfected. And this can be used again to flush the toilets. So we have a system that uses still the flushing mechanism, which until now is the best in terms of smells, like you don't want to have your toilets to smell. But we don't need any water because every time we recycle and people urinating in the toilet make that the system can continue working. And you might wonder what happens to the heavier part in the septic tank. So this, after the sedimentation process, we can either take them and treat them in a similar reactor, so also powered by the same solar panel, so having two reactors in parallel, but for a longer time, this part, or we can mix it with part of the water that was treated. Because what I didn't say is when the wastewater is treated in the reactor, we are generating species that you find in bleach. So these species can be used to disinfect what we call the sludge. So it's like the bottom part of the septic tank. So you have to see the septic tank has like big tank or big glass and with like sedimentation on the bottom and on the top part that liquid plus eventually some particles.
So this sounds pretty elaborate, but obviously I'm assuming that part of the prize was awarded to something that is replicable, something that could be produced in mass scale.
Yes.
Obviously, this prototype would be very, very expensive, but how could you get costs down on something that sounds relatively complicated?
Well, actually, it's not that complicated. There is no mechanics involved except the pump on the reactor. So this is a basic 12-volt pump that you might use, for example, in your garden for your pond. And then the electrodes, so the main part in the reactor, so these are made, we have a slurry that we put on them and then we cook them basically in an oven. We do that for a few times. So we estimated the cost, including solar panel and overall system, to be less than $2,000. And we are sure that if there is large-scale manufacturing, then we can bring the cost much lower. Also, the big advantage of our system is for the same price, actually, or about the same price, you can do the treatment for a family of 5 person or 50 persons. It's just a matter of scale and
bringing the cost down, huh?
Exactly. So our idea is if we go on like for a 50 person for a system to treat 50 the waste of 50 persons, then the price per person will be much lower than 5 cents a day, which is the limit that the Gates Foundation fixed.
So do you envision this being a toilet that can be used in developing countries' households, or are these going to be more public facilities?
Both. It can be used in households, but we understand that in this case, the price per person might be a bit higher than 5 cents a day. These can be used in a small community toilet or having like a communal treatment of different personal toilets, like for example in a neighborhood or something. The system can also be used in what we call developed countries, like the US or Europe or Japan, other Asian countries. So in this case, the system can be hooked up to a solar panel, to a windmill, but it can also be hooked up to your own electricity at home if you have electricity. And in this case, the consumption of the system is much less than 100 watts. So to give you an idea, it's roughly a big light bulb, 100 watts. So, your TV consumes more than 100 watts to run. So the system is pretty versatile.
Ladies and gentlemen, most people record songs about love, heartbreak, loneliness, being broke. Nobody's actually went out and recorded a song about real pain. The band and I have just returned from the General Hospital, where we caught a man in the right position. We named this song Constipation Blues.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with Caltech graduate student Clément Cid. He is part of a team at Caltech that recently won a prize from the Gates Foundation for reinventing the toilet. I have a picture of it here in front of me, but maybe you can explain to our listeners what it looks like and how it might differ if they came across your toilet in a few years, if they were traveling, as opposed to the toilets that that Westerners are more used to seeing.
Well, actually, if you are talking about where you do the stuff, it's the same. Our focus was not to modify the toilet seat or to modify the latrine or to modify the squat toilet. The idea is we, instead of saying we're gonna try to use to invent a dry toilet, what a lot of people are trying, and that's something really interesting, but they still have the smell problem. So our idea was we recycle the water. So okay, we use flushing water. So when you will set up the system, you will put 50 gallons of water, and then when you flush your toilet, so the water plus the human waste goes and everything is treated. And so then everything that was liquid is recycled and can be used to for flushing again. We did microbiological analysis, and after 3 or 4 hours of treatment, so we treated 5 gallon sample from different LA area wastewater treatment plant. So we used the first what they call primary effluents. These are what comes in the treatment plant right after the first grids. So like to remove a big, like if you have leaves, if you have big objects. So we treated these samples, the primary effluents, in less than 4 hours, and between around three and four hours. And we came up with microbiological analysis showing that everything is disinfected. So our system doesn't modify the what you see as a user. What we modify is the way the waste is treated, because the goal is to have a possibility to treat the human waste without being hooked up to any wastewater network, water network, or electricity network. So no grids.
In terms of maintenance, you say that one of the parameters of the fair was to try to create something that could run on 5 cents a day. That doesn't mm-hmm. sound like much to most Americans, but to somebody who's making a dollar or two a day, 5 cents a day is not insignificant. So for people who have that kind of standard of living, how does your toilet ensure that they will be able to continue to maintain it and keep the filtering system clean, and that it will be able to be a permanent fixture in their household rather than just a temporary solution?
Well, there, for us, there is no filtering system, or there is one at the very end that we estimate to change maybe every year, and it, you can use a paper filter. So basically what you use for coffee or just a piece of paper is just to avoid to have some particulates to go into the flushing water. But then the treatment system doesn't require any maintenance except just cleaning it once in a while. So using the water that was disinfected, you pour it a little bit on the electrodes and you clean them up. To give you a real life example, the electrodes we are using are 6 years old and they still work perfectly. So we just like clean them in the sink with some water, and then we put them back and it's fine. So you can imagine just people having a bucket and some treated water and just cleaning them like that. And then the rest of the system is just pipes. So basically, there is no more maintenance than if you were hooked up to a traditional grid. The electrodes just need to be cleaned with the water that was disinfected, and that's it. There is no mechanical part to change. The filter at the end is a paper filter, so there is no high value. Doesn't cost a lot of money to change it, and the overall system, we have electrodes that are 10 years old too, and they still work great. So we are we think that it will be like the life the estimated lifetime of the system is higher than 10 years, and then it's just plastic. So there is no no mechanical part moving. So that's the one of the main advantage of this system over the other ones that were presented.
And you explained the conversion into negligible particles, but explain how your toilet keeps the smell of waste from pervading a home.
Well, so the way it works is when you flush the toilet, so we use the treated water to flush, this goes to the septic tank, and so the top part, mainly the liquids and small particles, go to the reactor and is treated. And in the reactor, there is a chemical reaction that is creating the same chemical components that you find in bleach by the oxidation of chlorine that we have in urine. So these, at the end of this reaction, what you got out of it is water. It's clear, no microbes, and it smells like bleach. What you might have is, let's say, for example, you got a leaf or something that goes through the toilet and is floating and then gets into the reactor and then continues its way So then that's why we put the filter, what we presented as a microparticle filtration system, which is basically a paper filter. So that's to retain any of the floating things that could be in the reactor. And then the water you get out of it is treated, disinfected water that you can use again for flushing or for irrigation. And there is also the part about energy. So during the reaction, you have oxidation of human waste, but also reduction of water. So this creates the hydrogen, and the hydrogen can be run through a fuel cell to create electricity. Or if fuel cell prices are too expensive, we can use it as a burning gas, basically with the same material as propane burners. So common burning material.
And you mentioned that it can be hooked up to solar panels in a home and stuff, but does it need to be solar powered? Can it run without power?
You need an external source of power that can be a solar panel, a windmill, or the electric grid, but you need an external source of power to run it. Yes. So in remote areas, you would need either a windmill or a solar panel. The windmill, the power that's necessitated by the system is less than 100 watts. So basically, it's a small solar panel. When it's $150 solar panel.
You said that it produces electricity, and would that possibly offset some of those electrical costs? And how much?
So it produces hydrogen. And the hydrogen can be converted to electricity or used as a cooking gas. The offsetting of the price is, we did some calculations, but then it also depends on the number of users and number and the running time. But you still need an outside source. Then you have to add on the added value, the fertilizers. So that's also something that is important with that system is, in the septic tank, we have separation between what's like the liquid and what we call supernatant, is liquid with some particles, and then the lower part, what we call the sludge. So everything that was sedimented, and those sediments so can be treated in the in another reactor similarly, or we can mix them with decontaminated water, because this water still have a disinfecting power. And these can be used for in agriculture fields. So these have a added value to the system. We have nitrates and phosphates. So basically, we did estimations that if we consider the U.S. prices of hydrogen as equivalent to propane, so for cooking uses, plus the amount of nitrates and phosphates that we got out of it. So if a person were buying them for fertilizing purposes, it will be around 4 to 5 cents a day for 50 persons, I think.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with Caltech graduate student Clément Cid. He is part of a team at Caltech that recently won a prize from the Gates Foundation for reinventing the toilet. So, Clément, what are some of the challenges that will face your team in trying to have this become a more ubiquitous product worldwide?
Well, we have the help of the Gates Foundation. Now we are working on what we call a second generation prototype and having it ready to go on the fields by December 2013. So this prototype will be used. We still don't know in which countries, but we are working with the Gates Foundation in order to implement these as testing units in the in real remote areas, and then after that the more elaborated versions will start to be implemented. So we start working, we work in collaboration with different companies. For example, well, we had a Color, we have my supervisor Mike Hoffman have contacts with them, and he also participated in the development of water-free urinals, so that with Falcon Water-Free. So we work with these companies in order to come up with a more finalized product.
And where should SeaChange Radio listeners go if they want to learn more about your team's prize-winning toilet, Clément?
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website has nice infographics on the toilet. So I encourage people to have a look at them. And also, if they're interested in knowing more about our prototype, they are encouraged to go to tinyurl.com/Caltech Toilets.
And we can also, we'll link to that on seachangeradio.com as well as the YouTube video that explains more about the toilet.
Okay, great.
Well, it's a fascinating innovation, and I appreciate you sharing it with our listeners. Clément Cid, he's a Caltech graduate student. Thanks so much for being my guest on SeaChange Radio.
Thank you very much. Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to SeaChange Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Ikebe Shakedown, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, and Leonard Skinner.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to SeaChange Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For SeaChange Radio, I'm Alex Wise.